This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
On a cold and grey Chicago morning, a poor little baby child is born in the ghetto.
It's very grey out there. I'm in a bad mood. I'm in a Fowler. You can call me Liverpool striker Robbie Fowler. You can call me a... Would you call someone who plucks a chicken a Fowler? Someone who plucks fowl? Shouldn't. Do you know what's mad? Two of the things that I like eating the most are fowl and offal. And I think, yeah, I like, if you ever go to a nice Szechuan restaurant, they might have like intestines. Do I like it? Or am I trying to show off? I don't know. Would I prefer chicken dark meat over intestines? Probably. But I like showing off that I can eat it. And I like holding up kind of, you know, deeply rich, oily, spicy, hexagonal shapes of intestines to impress whoever I'm on a date with. I think now I'm actually more myself than I was in my 20s. I think my 20s, I was like 20% myself, but 80%, what do you think of this? You know, 80%, is this what you would like to hear? Hello, I'm a conversational chameleon. Where have I gone? No, I am the couch. I have blended in brown to chat to you better. That's not a good example of what I'm talking about, but I was definitely someone who would try and mimic. We talked about it recently with the lads. Do you ever mimic a conversation? I definitely do so with Yanks, with the Yankee Doodle Dandies. And I find a bit of a weird kind of accent when I'm speaking to anyone from Europe. And I'm like, oh man, that's so cool, man. You know, I find it hard to do that, not to do that. Now I think I'm just, hey, this is me. This is me now. J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez, this is me. But I am in a very bad mood. I'm in a bad mood. Youngfla's sick. I have a headache. I've been gigging a lot. And I enjoy the gigs when I'm there. I don't like leaving my house. I haven't watched anything. I haven't played any Final Fantasy VII Remake, let alone Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I'm not totally satiated by my YouTube algorithms at the moment. They're not giving me what I want. TikTok is also not giving me what I want. What is it kind of giving me at the moment? Give me a lot of wrestling stuff, but wrestling's kind of treading water a little bit until WrestleMania, so it's not really giving me anything kind of unctuous, anything I can sink my teeth into. I'm having a fight with Terry today, and I'm wrong, and I'm so wrong, and I don't have the headspace yet, or I don't have the time today to sit down and write a letter to myself. Well, firstly, the letter would begin being like, fucking stupid, fucking stupid, fucking stupid. And then second paragraph would be like, but this is kind of why I'm wrong. And this is where I acknowledge that I'm wrong. And this is what I'm going to do. And then, you know, it goes first paragraph, fuck everything. Everything. Second paragraph, okay, I can kind of see where I'm wrong. Third paragraph, oh, I can kind of see her perspective. Fourth paragraph, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Fifth paragraph, this is how I'm going to communicate it to her. I should be one of those, I should be one of those YouTubers who have no credentials whatsoever and give completely unsolicited life advice. I am. I already am. I just did it there. But you know the people who do it with kind of conviction? It's almost like, it's almost like people are now their own AI algorithms of other people that they've ingested. Which I understand for music, right? I understand you as Van Morrison, for example. His father had the largest record collection in Northern Ireland. Maybe Ulster. I don't know. Had the largest record collection. And as a result of that, he just ingested everything. He ingested all the music, and then he came out with incredible music. That is a man who has a curated access, or access to a phenomenal curated library of music, and he's able to turn that into something. You know, the Beatles, similarly, they used to hang out in the record shop, and then the record owner, Brian Epstein, then gave them a record deal. Do you know what I mean? They're hanging out, ingesting it all, regurgitating it back in the wrong way. You know, the Beatles took in all this rock, all this doo-wop, all this garage, and all this stuff. And then they, with their little spindly 16 and 17 year old fingers not playing it as well as they, you know, as well as the actual artists. They're like, all right, we'll do our best. And then they come out with the Beatles, you know. But with the kind of self-help gurus, when you're kind of just regurgitating, I think there's a duty of care. Or maybe no. Hey, who's to say? I don't know what I want. I've been thinking recently, should I change my perspectives a little bit and just try and be like a good person, you know? Just try and live a morally pure, you know, like in terms of goals. I think that we're kind of led to, at the moment, I feel like we're kind of a generation of very self-serving kind of goals. Myself, especially, you know, myself particularly, especially as a self-employed, you know, comedian in the entertainment sector. Very selfish goals in that, right? But I'm wondering if I had a goal of just trying to make someone else's life better or someone else's day better, or if I had my top 10 goals or my top 10 things I did for the day, if those were all like selfless acts, you know? What a good person I am. Toying with the idea of being more giving, more selfless, more charitable without actually doing it. It's like that Louis C.K. joke of when he's sitting there in first class on a flight and he sees like an army man, a marine, get on with all these bags. He looks tired. He looks wiped. Walks through the first class, sits in, you know, the regular third class seat. And he thinks to himself, do you know what would be really nice if I gave that guy my seat? If I said, thank you for your service here, take my seat. And he said he felt like such a good person for even having that thought that he didn't that he didn't do it. He's like, what an amazing person I am to even consider that thought. But you know what I mean? What am I doing? I'm also tired. I haven't been sleeping very well. One of the fights, actually, one of the bones of contention at the moment is me not getting enough sleep, you know, and staying up late, usually working, and then being wrecked in the morning. And then I take my ADHD medication and like, I'm kind of like powered by something that's not entirely my own well-rested muscles and well-hydrated body. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I don't know how sustainable that's going to be. But yeah, so that's, and I suppose, am I doing it right now? And I suppose her concern is kind of my own personal wellness and how I make, if I'm making other people's lives better around me. And if I'm in a kind of grumpy mood, am I doing that? I don't know. Anyway, not in a good mood. Do you know what I'm missing at the moment? I'm not getting to drink coffee in the morning because of the meds. Because they're kind of uppers. I don't know if I want to keep it up. You know, I don't know if, so an update. Am I going to talk about this again? This is not an ADHD podcast, but what's going on in my life? Eventually, this is all very new. It's the honeymoon period of all this shit. I'm not going to talk about it forever. But I've found that I'm a bit more patient with them, and I'm a bit more, I can kind of see the forest for the trees a little bit. I'm not expecting instant results, you know. I'm a bit more, you know, sometimes like I remember, do you ever like go on like a path of self-improvement, and it might be anything. It might be like reading a bit more, might be going to the gym, might be getting out and walking a bit more. And then just something blindsides you because you see someone doing it better and you're like, what am I even doing? I'm not there. And you don't really kind of log in with yourself. You don't check in with yourself, give yourself a pat on the back for the small steps that you're taking. I feel like I can see those steps a bit better now. I can see the whole picture rather than get blindsided by the social media post of someone doing it better. Do you know what I mean? So that helps. But it definitely feels like sometimes I haven't really eaten on today, which is also an issue. I'm wasting away and I'm back on the fucking vape. I'm sorry. I'm back on the vape. And I'll tell you what did it for me. It was a little voice in my head that was like, you'll focus better if you have nicotine, because nicotine is a stimulant and that will help you focus. Because I was trying to write a script very late into the night and I dipped out and I bought a vape and I came home. And it actually was a struggle to get back into it. I didn't like it, you know? But it's just mad. Little cheeky, little dormant fucking Schmeagle in there being like, I hadn't heard that one before. So yeah, I got it. They got me. They got me good, you know? But I'm not going to, I don't know if I'm back on it, but there still is a bit of juice left. Isn't it mad? The fucking nicotine, like the moment that nicotine is having right now. Not since like the 1960s has nicotine been as popular as it is right now. Insane. And I find it very interesting. I'm kind of having like these thoughts. I was listening to a podcast about risky business. And this is like early Reagan 80s. And that whole kind of like capitalism and business is life and all this kind of hustle kind of thing, you know? And we kind of look at that like that's a kind of bygone era. But like, I don't know if there's been any more time to be kind of self-serving and not community focused. I mean, we browse separately. We have our entertainment separately. We have our own little, we have our own internal monologue, and then we have our own little online persona that comes out. Our own little secret person that looks up things, not even nasty things, but has our own kind of little not shared interests with other people. Things that we just look at and we get a little dopamine hit. Rather than actually being part of like a carpentry class, we just watch little carpentry videos and we get a little dopamine hit being like, I'm kind of a carpenter now, you know? The reason I say that off the back of what I was just talking about there is, how did I get onto that? Yeah. And then also, you know, where we couldn't be more self-focused, business-focused, you know, hustle mentality, grind, make money, that whole thing. It's kind of like being a kind of sellout is kind of just like not even, it's not a Gen Z kind of scarlet letter that it used to be, or Gen X scarlet letter. If you were a sellout, you were a sellout. Dylan Goes Electric, he's a sellout, you know, doing an ad for something, you're a sellout. Those are a bit more kind of, not welcomed, but like kind of understood or accepted, and or just people don't even think about them. And as well as that, like the same people, myself included, who would be pushing sustainability and be like, oh, the fucking tobacco of the 1960s. They would, you know, like, the point I'm trying to make here is about cigarettes, right? And the moment that nicotine is having right now. Gen Zers are pushed as this kind of like super sustainable, you know, super woke and conscious and all this stuff. And maybe more morally pure. But is that true? Like in the 60s, yeah, there was like cigarettes everywhere and, you know, the corporations were making serious fucking wedge. But they were also like just taking something out of ground and wrapping it in paper and putting it in a paper pack and shipping that out to you. You know, shipping it out to shops. Now we're taking like little fucking glycerin in a plastic little tube, single serving plastic little tube powered by a lithium ion battery that are purposely built to be recharged, but they're not going to be recharged because they're all going in the fucking bin. And they're going to make all of that other rubbish toxic. And wherever it ends up in the future is going to be, you know, land that you can never fucking grow things on again. What buzz is this? Is this any good? I don't know. All I have is my thoughts. I'm missing fucking coffee, I have to tell you. I'm missing coffee. I don't get to take it with my ADHD meds. Getting back into the tea, though. The tea game is strong. Even though it still has caffeine, but do you know what? It's one of those things. If I don't look it up, I won't feel the effects of it. It's like that. It's like when you don't look at the clock when you go to bed and you're like, could be 8 hours, could be two. Who's to say? And then you feel like fucking, you feel like dog shit the next day. Or you feel like you're coming up on speed from having a cup of tea, you know? But I do miss that. But yeah, I'm just, I feel like Lumiere at the moment. The candle from Beauty and the Beast. Because I'm burning my hands at both ends at the moment. It feels like that. Burnout, guys. feel a bit burnt out. Well, do you know what? I just need to fucking sleep is all. Do you know? Do you ever have that? Do you ever have that, like, you're tired and you're sad? And the best place for that to live is, like, kind of in your mind. You know what I mean? Sometimes if those kind of moods, obviously it's very important to get things out and to tell people how you feel. But sometimes, you know, when you have that kind of insatiable appetite for moaning or the insatiable appetite for being sad, and you just know that, like, just a bit of fucking sleep and in the morning, you're not even really going to be talking about this. Have you ever been in, like, a scrap with your partner and you're both wrecked and it's going on for so long and you just can't stop? We haven't had one of those in a while. That's not how me and Terry are fighting at the moment. But, you know, more so when you're like a teenager and you're on the phone and you're using up all your credit and you're so fucking tired. And then you, like, you get your ma's phone, you knock into your ma, you're like, ma, can I have your phone? You know, I need to call her. And she's like, oh, don't, like, just fucking sleep. And you're like, no, I do need to call her, you know. You haven't even had a pint. Do you know what I mean? You're just so fucking tired and full of emotions. And there's no satiation in it. There's nothing that you'll get out of it, really. Do you know what I mean? You're just going to keep going. And the next morning, you can just kind of see totally clearly. Wish I was a bit more in tune with my body, I think. A bit more in tune. I was never in tune with my body growing up. I remember, like, going to school. On the way into school, I'd be waking up late. I'd stay up late. I would wake up for school with a roasting hot portable DVD player on my chest and the DVD menu settings of, like, Chasing Amy or Clerks or Lord of the Rings or The Matrix. Matrix would be the worst. You put on The Matrix when you're pissed and then you can kind of sleep through it, but then by around 6 o'clock you're kind of coming out, you're kind of drunk and stupor, and every single time it's like, you know, and the big fucking brass noise of that score would start hitting you and you're like, oh, the fuck. And not only are you dehydrated from the pints, but also, like, the heat of this scorching hot portable DVD player in your chest. But I would wake up most mornings with a scorching hot portable DVD player on my chest, late for school, in a bad mood, probably blaming my ma because we moved gaff and she now has to get up a bit earlier to go to work to pay for everything. And I'm like, she doesn't get to wake me up anymore. I'm late for fucking school because she doesn't wake me up anymore. Going in late, still stopping off at the old Centra, grabbing 2 apple lattice squares, so much fucking sugar, drinking a whole liter of orange juice on the way into school every day. Buzzing and emotional and tired, trying to tell my vice principal why I'm late. And then going in there and then fucking crashing after lunch. Like, in no way did I link. It was, oh, I'll tell you, link diet with mood. I'm 36, right? This year, I realized that if I eat a carb before I get on my bike, I'm not as tired. I never felt that before. I never knew that before. I'm like, this is tough. This is tough today. Well, I guess I'm a piece of shit today. Wow, look at me. I can go double the distance I did yesterday. I must be amazing. Maybe cycling is for me, actually. Maybe this dormant mutant gene has finally kicked in and I will be an X-Man whose power is cycling. You know? It's so simple, isn't it? It's just so fucking simple. Go to bed a bit early. Go get enough sleep. Eat things that give your body energy and drink water. It's mad, isn't it? Like, they did that shit in caves. It's your man talking. I'm obsessed with that guy on TikTok where he's like, I've talked about him so many times because I'm just fascinated by him. He looks so tired, but he's like, my 24 hours is 3 days. I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock to 12 p.m. That's one day. 12 p.m. to 6 p.m., that's another day. 6 p.m. to 12 a.m., that's third day. I'm going to outwork you. Spread that out over a week, not a hope. Spread that over a month, I'm kicking your butt. You know, That's too much. That's too much. That's too much days he's doing there, you know? But how did I get onto that? Oh, yeah, he says, you think I'm crazy? I think you're crazy for still living by a calendar that people 200 years ago in a cave. He says something like 200 years ago, people living in a cave. I'm like, whoa, I don't think that's true at all. I don't think that's true at all. I was actually even writing something, and I was trying to put in, like, that they live in the 1600 in, like, a mud hut. And I'm like, no, we didn't even have that then. We had, like, fucking stone cabins, probably even glass, you know? Do you ever go to a castle? And you're like, you visit a castle and you see the bedroom. You're like, yeah, but it's fucking freezing in here. I don't care how many windows you got that are going to keep arrows that you can shoot arrows out of, right? I would rather live for a month in the bedroom that I have now than a year in one of those freezing bedrooms. Wait, what do I mean? Live for a whole year. I would rather live for 1 month and die after 1 month. I don't want to die. Oh, do you know what? And I don't know if this is good advice. I'll probably bring this up again on the other pod because I need to get my head around it. I was talking to Sonny about, will I pivot off the castle thing? Yes. Well, all I was going to say is those castles are freezing. And isn't it amazing what our diet is? You show a chicken fillet roll, a spice bag, to Henry VIII, he would shit himself because he wouldn't be used to the spice, but also out of shock. It is amazing how well we eat. A cake, a little lattice that you can just buy in a shop. Someone squeezed all the orange juice for me. No Assyrian king. They may have slayed 17 lions in their tenure as king. They have not had cold orange juice. I guarantee that. Anyway, Sonny likes me to talk about monsters sometimes. And he's like, will you tell me about monsters? And I was telling him about Dracula. And I was saying that, he's like, can you tell me about Dracula? And then I realized actually why a lot of vampire stuff gets kind of like nerfed a lot. Because a lot of these things that are scary have to do with death. Monsters and stuff have to do with death. And I never really thought about that. I was obsessed with werewolves because it was like, if a wolf bites you, you become a werewolf. A vampire bites you, you become a vampire. And it's really sad because Sonny is trying to like, so he asked me about Dracula and he was like, tell me about Dracula. And I was like, Dracula sleeps in a coffin. He's like, why does he sleep in a, what's a coffin? I'm like, okay, shit. A coffin is what they put you in when you die sometimes. Some people choose to be buried in a coffin. He's like, buried? I'm like, fuck. Well, he sleeps in a coffin because it blocks the sunlight out. Why does he not want the sunlight on him? Because if he goes in the sun, he'll die. And he's like, what? And I'm like, but he actually, apart from that, wasn't going to bring up fucking stakes in the heart, wasn't going to touch that shit. But I said, aside from that, he will actually just live forever. I mean, also in parentheses, if he feasts off the living blood of another human. But I was like, he'll live forever. And he's like, so vampires live forever. He's like, and he says, do we die? He asked me, do we die? And I'm like, yes, we do die. Not for a long time, though. You're going to live to 100 and you're not going to die, you know? And he's like, I don't want to die. And I'm like, fuck. And I'm like, I don't know what to say here. And, you know, Terry's there and we don't, like, he's three. And I'm like, this is too big. I'm like, where is this? Where's the duvet of God here? You know, where is the warm embrace of reincarnation? What do we actually have? What do we actually believe? And then we were like, well, then Terry goes, well, when we die, what happens is we go into the ground and we actually grow and we grow into plants and we grow into different things. And you know, and then he wasn't into that. I didn't want to be a plant. I'm like, fuck. And then I was like, well, there's kind of two things that happens. One is we go somewhere, we go into the earth or we go into different parts of the planet and other things grow. But also we kind of live forever in people's memories. And I was like, do you remember Molly, the cat? It's Granny's cat. And I was like, yeah, so you know, you can think of her, but she's dead, but you can think of her. So that's where she lives. And I have memories of Molly, so she lives there. And Mammy's got far more memories than I do of Molly, so she lives there. So you kind of go into the earth, but then you also go into everyone's memories. And he's like, I can't remember Molly. And I'm like, yeah, but if I showed you a picture of Molly, you would remember her and all those memories would come back. And then I started thinking about Coco. And then I started getting real fucking emotional, you know? And then he was like, when I saw a picture of Molly, it made me so happy. I'm telling you too much here. But I don't know how to, I don't know. I've told you before, my mom told me there's no Santa. And then I cried and she said, no, there is a Santa. And I felt better. But then, like, I don't know what the long-term damage of that is. Probably not a huge amount. But I also wonder what is the damage of telling a three-year-old that he's going to die? You know? I mean, I suppose, is it better to have these conversations when we're just having dinner and we're talking about... And then he was trying to fucking cheat the system. And he's like, so you're telling me if... And he's like, and then I told him that Dracula was dead, but vampires are dead and they come back. And that was in another conversation. So he pulled that one out and he's like, so hang on, if vampires are dead and they come back, then if a vampire bites you, that you get to then live forever? And I'm like, fuck. And I'm like, yeah, but it's cursed. It's a curse for them. They have to... And I was about to say they have to watch everyone else die. And I'm like, it's tough. And it's conversations that we hadn't had, that me and Terry hadn't really had, how we would broach this kind of topic. And it was kind of like, it's a very fucking morbid podcast, but it's kind of like, there is no salve. There is no, you know, there's no, yeah, you die, but then you get a chocolate. There's no, it is just, we don't talk about it with each other. You know, we don't, and I haven't, but it's probably better. Sorry, I'm all over the place here because I haven't really thought about this out loud. A lot of people have to deal with these conversations about death internally. And they kind of find out about depending on what you believe, if you're an atheist, if you become an atheist, you kind of find out about the finality of death on your own. It's kind of like, I don't really believe what this guy's saying about God. So shit, I suppose there's maybe no afterlife. And shit, I suppose then the end is actually the end. And it's bleak. It's incredibly bleak. That's why, like, Ricky Gervais made a film about it, The Invention of Lying. He invents the lie about, bit on the fucking nose, but he invents the lie about heaven to make his dying mother feel better in a world where there are no lies. And he makes up a lie to make her feel better. Which is an interesting idea, not a very good movie. But yeah, that's what's going on this week. That's what's going on this week. I don't want him thinking about that though. Do you know what I mean? But I don't want him like burying shit. I want him to be able to talk about it, but it was hard to stand by the conviction and not say that. I mean, it is kind of true. Things do live on in people's memories. I do love that movie Coco. They have to put the picture up on the ofrenda. So when it goes from, you know, that's what they do. If you haven't seen Coco, you know what they do on the Day of the Dead or whenever the day is that they actually celebrate. They put all the pictures out of everyone in the family who's gone, and they kind of celebrate them, and they leave out, gifts and treats and things because the barrier between the living and the dead is at its kind of thinnest, the veil. We've got a similar thing with Samhain, which is why I think we need to kind of co-opt it in that kind of way. So when people forget the person, when they get lost from memory, then they're really gone. But it kind of goes from the recent memory people have of someone, like your parent, and then, you know, your kids probably don't remember their grandparents or might slip away. Their kids won't remember, but they can look at the picture. And then what becomes memory becomes stories. And you kind of do live on. You don't, like, none for you, none on you. You don't get fuck all from this, arrangement. Yeah, I'm very fucking existential. Very fucking existential today. I think I just need to watch a TV show. Might be the shout, to be honest. But yeah, I found that very tough. His little face. He's crying. I'm telling him, like, he's crying. I don't want to die. I'm like, fucking hell. You know? I want to be like, no, you know, I would love just, well, what's going to happen is, actually, you don't. You actually go to somewhere better. And it's like, no, you don't go to somewhere better. We just don't know. This is great dinner conversation, isn't it? This is great. Yeah, I'm scrapping my wife. I'm just thinking about how this generation are a bunch of fucking spoofers. You're not woke. You're actually destroying the earth with all your vapes. And it was better when they smoked tobacco in the 60s. And I'm thinking about death. Thinking about death and what to do in a spiritually void world. What do I tell my son? This is great. Pass the salt. No, look, can I give you a bit of gratitude? Can I destroy this mood with a bit of gratitude? For me to be fucking sitting here moaning about anything. And look, I'm not, yeah, I'm allowed to do that. And I know I'm allowed to do that. And you have a good, I'm mostly in a good mood most of the time. But the fact that you're here and the fact that you're listening to this, as I've said time and time again, far beyond my wildest dreams. When I was going into school, coming up with new excuses for my vice principal as to why I was late, with a scorching hot fucking square on my chest from the hot DVD player, I couldn't have fathomed. I was writing this in a script recently. I think I've talked about it before in my I had an episode of Bad Job Interviews. And I was just fucking constantly failing in everything. I was just, I don't know if I can really even attribute it to the ADHD. Maybe it was. But I was constantly sacked. I mean, as you know, how many jobs I've been sacked from. And I went in for this job that was, I was like, this is a dream situation. It was selling software that like make CG movies. They'd used it on like Tintin. It was top of the range, like software. You'd be selling this software to like movie studios. And I'm like, this is exactly my wheelhouse. This is incredible. And I was selling this software and Adam May was in there. He was going to get me in. He said I pretty much had the job. I just had to go in because I had pretty much the same background as him. Worked in the same stock room, moved on to this call center that I actually got him a job for. And then he got this job and was in the interview going really well. Charming the pants off the two of them. One of the guys, big, massive yank of a guy. The other guy, more of a kind of, he was the sales exec. Other guy, more kind of software kind of dude, more about the kind of technical know-how. I learned all about the software. I was selling it back to him. He was loving that. And then the big executive just goes, and I was only thinking of this recently because I literally wrote this into a script that I'm working on. He's like, man, Tony's great. You know, obviously you got Joe in there. You know, you got a couple of pals in there. You know, we think it'd be great for the team. But look, you know, where do you see yourself in like 10 years? And it was just like, it was one of those when you get hurt playing sport, but you're like a kid and then someone says, are you all right? And all the tears you've been holding in, you know, come flooding out. You're like, you all right? You're walking around like, all right, rub it off, it's fine. You just got a fucking ball pelted at your face. You feel like you got a frying pan head that feels scorching hot. You're like, bing. You know that sound? Bing. Bing. When you get a fucking ball to the face and you want to cry. And then you're holding it together until someone says, you all right? And then you're just, bing. You know, you turn into a Tuscan Raider out of nowhere. So this guy just asked me this question. And I didn't cry, but it was just a question. It's a stupid question. And I don't know if everyone has to have the answer for that. But it was a question that I'd fucking been running from since probably fifth year. And I'm here like kind of 10 years later from where it was. No, probably 7 years later. And I'm just quiet. I'm just mute. I'm like, well, you know, I definitely, It's mad how many like definitive words that you use when you're like floundering, when you have no idea what to say, and you say stuff like definitely, 100%, and I'm saying all these definite words, and I just said nothing, and the guy's just looking at me. And then kind of let me stew in it a little bit for a while. And I'm like, well, can I just say, I want to, you know, obviously where you guys are. Where and I said nothing for like 3 minutes. 3 minutes of silence. I'm getting redder and redder until eventually he's like, do you want a glass of water? I'm like, yeah. 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 And it's tough. It's tough when you fucking don't know. It's easier when your choices are extremely limited. Well, my dad is a farmer, you know. I'm not saying it's an easier job. Farming's fucking, you know, it's tough. My dad's a plumber. My dad's Mario from the Mario movie. But the unlimited amount of choices, I have nothing but sympathy for anyone going through, anyone in their teens or 20s having to kind of 10 years. There's no... No, I've no fucking idea. How are you even going to wrap your head around 10 years? Most of the jobs we have are going to be gone in 10 years. How are you going to say 10 years? Because the reality is, I have a lot of interests, so I have no idea. And I don't think it really works that way. If I can counter your question, big yank, I don't know. If I stay here, potentially I could be a sales director. If that's what I decide to pursue. If some other opportunity comes up in a couple of years' time, it could be anything. I could be doing pottery. I could fall in love with someone and move to Spain. You know, raise goats. I could be, there could be some breakthrough with coding AI that allows me to make my own video games by just coming up with the ideas. I could be a, you know, similarly, that could work with, like, I could become a big name fucking movie director, just making movies about myself with the assistance of, you know, of technology. Not that anyone would probably want to watch that shit because, you know, you really want an auteur's vision with that kind of thing. But you don't know. I read somewhere that my young fella is 60. The rate of change that happens in 10 years' time will happen in 3 months' time. The rate of technological change in 50-something years, 56 years, will happen across a season. There's going to be things you say in conversation in 2060, if you're lucky enough or cursed enough to live that long, that, you know, There's an email that you'll send and a month later will have like outdated language, you know? So it's so hard to know what you want to do, even without that. What I should have said to him is, hey, big yank, hey, Jaws, big guy, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if there's an answer that you want to hear. Are you curious or do you want me to give you what I know about what a 10-year career looks like in here? Because I don't know what it's like in here. I don't know what the culture's like. I hope I'd be a good fit. I think I would be. I also don't know if there's other routes that you can go down, more the software side, more the sales side. I also don't know if, who knows if a technological advancement might take place in the next 10 years, which it has with AI. I don't know. I could all of a sudden become an incredible video game director, because coding AI can pretty much make the game for you based on your suggestions, you know? I mean, hopefully not. You wouldn't want to see all those kind of developers out of a job, out of pocket. But then you also just might have them actually developing their own games and, you know, be a video game revolution of content. But I don't know, I don't know what I'm going to do. I might move to Spain with a bird. I might all of a sudden have something happen to me that kind of kicks off this quest for fucking justice. You know, I don't know. Someone I know might get shot, and I might start becoming a fucking vigilante or a detective to try and take down the perp. I don't know if anybody looking back from 10 years thought this is where I was going to be. So I'd say that to him. Well, it's not a bad question. Well, it is a bad question. It's a stupid question. And then even when I was kind of floundering, he's like, all right, what about 5 years? I don't know. Bro, I don't even know what I'm having for fucking dinner today. I'm having whatever the reduced section of Tesco has. I don't know what is going on. But I'm looking to you for fucking, I want you to tell me, to be perfectly honest. That's why I'm here. Because I've been buzzing around like a bee, trapped in a greenhouse, banging off the glass for the last fucking 20 odd years of my life. I love having made up conversations with people, were you? What's it called? We talked about it on the podcast with the lads. You know, the wit of the stairs or something. It's like that. The wind of the stairs. Where you think of something really good to come back with after the conversation has ended. So, look, who's to know? I'll tell you what I will be doing, though. This podcast with you. Or maybe you might have lapsed and you'll come back. But there will definitely be some means of me communicating with you, my beloved patrons, subscribers of this podcast. So, you know, maybe listen to this and go for a walk. Maybe listen to this, get a Magnum. Eat a Magnum. And next week, I'll be chipper and cheerful. And we'll look back on this and laugh. All the best. Bye-bye.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.